If you turn in your paper Bible or tap on your screen to Psalm 42, the book of Psalms, chapter 42, and if you didn't bring a Bible or a device, that's okay. Grab one of those pew Bibles that should be around you, and you can you can turn to page 484. That'll get you to Psalm 42. Well, Diana, my wife and I, we had a good Christmas. It went by fast. It seems like I say that every year, and I hope you had a good Christmas. And, you know, the holiday season, we're kind of coming to the end of it. We've got one more holiday tomorrow. It's supposed to be happy, right? It's supposed to be joyful and joyous, and we sing about that and talk about that, and Christmas specials is all happy and so forth. We're supposed to be happy. At least that's what we're told. Well, for some people, they're not always happy. And you may not know it about someone else, depending on their situation. There may be life events going on now, or they happen this year, or even in past years that make the holidays, Christmas and New Year's, a painful time. There are times you can identify with what I'm saying. And you wonder, why do I feel the way I do when everybody else seems to be having a good time during Christmas? I was on Thursday, I've talked about this couple before, Micah and Sherry. And Micah died 2 years ago this past Thursday. And I texted Sherry because it was the anniversary date. I said, how you doing? You know, just regular text. Thinking about you today. And she said, well, I'm sitting in my car sobbing, waiting for my daughter to come out of practice. And I said, would you like me to call? And she said, okay. And so I got on the phone with her. We both cried. And there's nothing I could tell her to make it better. But this Christmas time is really hard for her. It's only been 2 years since her husband died, a great marriage, two kids. And so Christmas isn't always happy. And I think someday it will be happy again for her. But it's rough right now because of the season when Micah died. But sometimes it's not a life event. It's like nothing bad happened. And yet I still feel sad about something. I feel some sort of letdown. We have this build up to Christmas. Presents, parties, time away from school and time off from work in some cases, family, all this stuff. And then it's time for the tree to come down and put away the presents and put the manger scene away, bring the lights down, whatever you do. Some of you are going back to school this week. Anybody want to give an amen or a clap to that? Nope. The parents are clapping. Or some of you homeschoolers will get back at it starting Tuesday. And you got to go back to normal. It can be kind of a letdown sometimes. Not for all of you, but sometimes it can be a letdown. And you're supposed to come to Bethel and hear the sermon. It's supposed to be encouraging, right? And I just popped your Christmas party balloon. And there's a holiday yet to come tomorrow. But no matter the source, whether it's situational or it just happens, many of you get the post-holiday blues and you feel like you can't talk about it. I found multiple websites with articles about how to get over the post-holiday blues or sadness. So it must be a pretty big deal for a fair amount of people if there's multiple websites, articles, telling you how to get past this. Well, today I'm going to show you some ways for you to maybe avoid it in the future, or at least make it a little better. Maybe I can't erase it all, but to make it a little better. And the sermon's called, Don't Let Your Red and Green Turn Blue. Don't let your red and green turn blue. Now, an important aside, and it may not affect too many in here, but some probably. I'm not talking about clinical depression. It'll come up a little bit. Like, you've been diagnosed with clinical depression from a doctor. And so some of you have this, and I can intersect with this because I understand clinical depression. It runs on my side of the family. It doesn't run on Diana's side of the family, but on my side it does. And so although some of the things I talk about may be helpful for clinical depression, there's still other things that have to happen when you have that kind of a diagnosis. So please don't hear me if you have that kind of depression that's just there for no reason. It comes and goes. Maybe it's there a lot. I'm not telling you to cheer up. I know that doesn't work. I know that it's more than a bad day or a bad season or holiday blues that'll go away. For some people, it's there all the time or most of the time. So I hope I made a clear enough distinction that I'm not talking about clinical depression per se. I've always been interested in Charles Schultz. And if you don't know the name, for over 50 years, he produced the comic strip, Peanuts. And I don't know if you know this, but Charles Schultz didn't have any assistants. He wrote everything by hand. He drew everything by hand. If you saw it in the newspaper or online, he did that. Charles Schultz was a guy that dealt with depression on and off all his life, not just at Christmas. Now, I think he probably did have clinical depression. He never said that, but he did deal with it. Here's something he said. I have this awful feeling of impending doom. I wake up to a funeral-like atmosphere. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but I'm taking a guess that some of you can identify with what Charles Schultz is saying. It may not be every day of your life. It may just be sometimes. So this is coming from a guy. Remember, we want to be rich and famous, right? Not really, you don't. But we think about that. Well, if I was just rich and famous, it'd be great. This guy, when he died, was worth $200 million. And he made a living making people laugh and smile. And his family said he loved to laugh himself. But even through that, he dealt with this darkness, this dark cloud. He dealt with depression. The other thing you need to know about Charles Schultz is that when you read the strip or see the TV specials, and some of you probably watched one this Christmas, you need to know that the Charlie Brown in the comic strip was Charles Schultz. So Charlie Brown was Charles. His voice and his feelings came out of Charlie Brown's mouth. So the things in the strip, other things in the strip, came from his own life. His dad was really a barber, and his mom was a homemaker, just like Charlie Brown's. Linus and Shermie were two of his best friends growing up. And if you know the strip well, or some of the specials, the little redheaded girl that Charlie Brown yearned for is based on a real woman named Donna Johnson. Schultz was in love with this woman when he was young, and they dated for 3 years. He asks her to marry him, and she said no. And Charles never got over her, and neither did Charlie Brown in the strips. So knowing all these things, especially that Schultz dealt with depression all of his life, some of you may have watched the very first Peanuts special that is run every year around this time, A Charlie Brown Christmas. Some of you have seen this, yes? He says this very early in the show. Charlie Brown says this. I know no one likes me. Why do they have to have a holiday to emphasize it? When you bring that quote out of this cute little cartoon, that's pretty dark. That's sad. Schultz was raised in a Christian home. He was raised Lutheran. He was later in his adulthood, he was a member of the Church of God and then later the Methodist Church in his adult years. So he's a Christian, follower of Christ. He loved to laugh, made a living at it, but he got depressed. And in one of the old comics, Charlie Brown said to Lucy, I have deep feelings of depression. What can I do about it? Lucy told him, snap out of it. And sometimes those of us that deal with dark times, whether it's a long term or short term, we get the message in church that, whether it's from preachers or other Christians, to snap out of it. They may not say that thing, but you just get over it. You know, you've got the joy of the Lord and all of that. So Christians aren't supposed to get depressed, according to some people. What's wrong with you? Maybe you think that about yourself. No matter if it happens post-Christmas, I'm kind of using the Christmas blues to springboard onto other times too. So if it happens post-Christmas or another time of the year or some other situation, no matter if it's a real life event that brings you into grief and sadness, or it happens for no reason at all and it doesn't make any sense to you, I have good news for you today. If you can identify with any of that, I have some really good news for you today, because with Jesus, there is always, always good news. You can turn to the Word of God and get advice for not letting your red and green turn blue. And even if it does, God tells you some things that you can do about it. I mentioned King David the last two weeks. And he was the greatest king of all time. And yeah, he had a couple of things he did wrong, but that's not what he's really remembered for. He was a spiritual man. He was a man after God's own heart. You may have heard that term about him. That's in the Bible. A man after God's own heart. He had a real relationship with God. He just didn't follow the rules and play church or things, play synagogue in his case. Women were drawn to him and men wanted to be like him. They respected him. He was a great king. He really was. And he lived in this great home with servants and the best of everything because he was the king, and that's what you get to do when you're the king. But David, King David, got depressed sometimes. Now, we usually use the book of Psalms. We might open a service. We might open the worship time or the singing time with the psalm, and it's positive, and coming to the house of the Lord and praise the Lord and all of that. And that's good. But we usually don't read the negative ones in a church service. And do you know what? Roughly 40% of the psalms are negative, crying out to God, saying things that are on their heart that's not a real positive thing. 40% negative, deep fear, depression, and so on. And David wrote most of the psalms. He didn't write all of them. He wrote the one we're going to read today. Now think about what you know about King David. If you're new to the Bible, don't worry about it. But David was a great king. You can remember that. But think of what you know about King David and how he is remembered now. And remember that Jesus came through his family line. So David has this great life. He had some bumps along the way, some sins he had to repent of. Yet he got depressed, sometimes deeply depressed. Psalm 42 has 11 verses, so it's not a long chapter. We're going to read them all. Let's start with verse 1, which is the most well-known verse in this chapter. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? So those are the most quoted verses, especially verse 1, from this chapter. And David is writing in metaphorical terms about how much he loves God. He loves God so much, it's like a thirsty deer looking for some water to drink. He wants to be that close to him. And that's what Jesus wants from all of us. It's not a bunch of rule following. He wants us to be close to him and to be like him. Not in the sense of following rules, but to be like his character. This close personal relationship that you and I can have with the creator of the universe, which, yeah, that's amazing in itself. So that's how David starts the psalm. Sounds pretty good. There's a song based on verse 1. Some of you are singing it in your heads right now. So let's watch where this psalm goes, though. And watch how David goes back and forth between his feelings, his struggles, some darkness in his life, and he vacillates between that and his knowledge of who God is, and he wants this relationship with God. And the trust that David has in God. Watch for that too, regardless of those feelings. So I'm going to pick it up again, verse 3, and we'll read to the end. My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will praise Him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of Jordan, the heights of Hermon, and from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? Some of you are relating to this. My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. Now, a couple of things about this chapter. This is not everything the Bible says about sadness, darkness, hard times, depression. The second thing is, not only did David express his dark times, dark thoughts, depression, whatever word you want to use for some of these verses, other people in the Bible did too, openly. So that being said, what are the big ideas that we could take away from this particular chapter? The first thing I want you to remember, especially if you deal with this sometimes, depression is not a sin. Depression is not weak spirituality. It's not a sin. Get that in your mind if you deal with this. Depression is not a sin. Now, staying in that depression, not doing anything about it, not fighting it, not just wallowing in it, using it for attention or sympathy or making it part of your identity so people will feel sorry for you, letting it rule over your life and faith, now, that's a problem. Those are sins. But depression itself, even for fully devoted followers of Christ, depression itself is not a sin. David struggled, King David, and nowhere in the Bible, and this isn't the only place he cried out with these kind of really honest feelings. There's nowhere in the Bible where it says that was sin. You know, God condemned him for these feelings, for saying these things. So if you've ever gotten that idea for preachers or teachers or someone in the church or whatever, think about David. Think about how God responded to him. Nowhere does he confess a sin of depression, a sin of darkness. He talks to God about it very openly. And nowhere does God condemn him for it, never. Depression itself is not a sin, and you're not a bad Christian. You're not less spiritual than other people if you feel that way. You have these dark times, even if it's a lot of the time. All right, number two, and this is maybe more for the people that don't deal with depression, like clinical depression. You don't just snap out of depression. It's not possible. You just can't flip a switch in your mind, I've decided I will not be depressed. Lucy told Charlie Brown, snap out of it. But it doesn't work, and if you've ever been depressed and anybody said something like that to you, you know it doesn't work. You would like it to work. Oh yeah, I'd like to snap out of this, but you can't. If you've never been truly depressed, and some people have personalities, the way their brain works, they just don't get that way very often. Or when you have it, it's mild and you seem to be able to handle it better than other people. Man, just thank God that you don't have to deal with it. But don't tell people to snap out of it. If you've told somebody, you know, hey, joy of the Lord, snap out of it, you get over it, cheer up, you're just wrong. In fact, telling that to someone that is in depression, long-term, short-term, will drive the person into deeper depression because they feel like that they aren't spiritual, like something's wrong with them, and they will question themselves. It's not helping, it's hurting. You may need to ask forgiveness if you've ever said that to someone. Go to them. You know, if David could have snapped out of it, he would have. He wouldn't have written Psalm 42 and some of the other tough psalms. This is not possible to snap out. It doesn't mean you have this lack of faith or that Jesus doesn't care about you. He absolutely does, I promise. And the third thing I want to take away from this chapter is to take action. Do something about it. I'm not saying, especially if you have the clinical kind, I'm not saying you're going to cure it. But there are some things you can do. You're not going to feel like taking action when you're in the middle of it. You're in the middle of some kind of grief or post-holiday blues or whatever it is. David didn't feel like it. You could see him going back and forth in this psalm. But he knew he had to do something about it because it wasn't going away on its own. And he didn't understand why he felt the way he felt. Some of you know what that's like. I don't understand why I'm sad today. I don't know why I don't want to get out of bed. I don't know. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why? He's asking his own self, why are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? And he asked those two questions twice in the chapter. So from David's perspective at that point, there was no reason for it. It just was. And David knew, I've still got to take some action here. So he struggled through it. He didn't give in to it. He struggled through it. And he did two things. And the first thing he did was that he prayed his heart out to God. I mean, just laid it out for him. Talked to God. Not some little trite book, not reading a little two-line prayer out of a book, but just laying it on the line. So he cried out, just the Lord and David, and he wrote this down so we get to hear this too, hear this prayer. God, my heart is breaking over this thing. I remember how things used to be, and they weren't like this. What happened to me? God, it feels like you've forgotten me. Why? Why does it feel that way? David held nothing back from God, even his own frustration with God. I've done that. I've gotten frustrated with God. I've gotten mad at God before. If you're going to have a real relationship with God, it's like any other relationship. There's sometimes I tell him, I don't know why you allow this to happen. I don't get it. And it's okay to tell him that because you have a relationship with him. You say that in other relationships sometimes. Many years ago, I was driving between two cities, and there were some things going on in my life, and it was a really dark time. There was a black cloud. And I started praying as I was going along, and the prayer got more intense and more intense and more intense. And I pulled into the place where I was going, and I sat in my car, and some of you may not have ever done this, or maybe never want to. I started yelling at the top of my lungs in my car at God, why? I was pounding the dashboard. I had myself a little tantrum. And I don't know if it's because I did it that way. I'm not really doing it, but that day that I walked into that building and God threw me a lifesaver or a life preserver. I was thinking about lifesavers. God threw me a life preserver and I was able to hang on even though the situation hadn't really changed. The second thing that David did was to take action. He said it two times. It's still up there. David chose to praise and worship God. In spite of his feelings, he didn't want to. I can't imagine. Because I don't know about you, but praising God is the last thing I want to do when I feel depressed or down and it's dark. I don't want to praise God. I don't want to worship. I know it's good for me, but my want to isn't there. Sometimes you just have to do it. And I imagine that David didn't feel like doing that, but he chose to do it anyway. David held on to his faith even when God seemed so far away, God seemed silent. Some of you know what that is. You know what that feels like. I'm just not hearing anything from him. And he held on to his faith when he didn't understand, why is God allowing my heart to hurt this much, to hurt this deeply? Why are things so dark? But he made a decision that is not based on feelings. He chose to put his hope in God anyway, even though God seemed silent. I'm not hearing from you, God, but I'm going to choose to worship you, to praise you. David called God his Savior, even when God was not giving him a lot of answers in the moment. You know, there are other practical things you can do. You can look up articles on the internet to fight the post-Christmas blues or the winter blues or the 4th of July blues or whatever might come your way. You've heard some of them. You've read these. Get out and volunteer. Visit the sick. Work on a project. Get some exercise. Help somebody to do something. You know, things like that. And you know what? All of those are excellent things to do when you are going through a hard time like this. So, yeah, do them. But first, before you do any of those things, first, do what David did. Call out to God and choose to praise and worship him. Lay it out and worship him anyway, even when you don't feel like it, especially when you don't feel like it. So let me remind you of the three things that we can take away from the psalm. First of all, depression is not a sin. Just remembering that, those of you that deal with this, remembering that and telling yourself that should take some pressure off of you. Number two, you just don't snap out of depression, especially if you're in a deep one. And the third thing, you can take action against depression. And those two things are choosing to pray, to lay it out before God, and like real prayer. You don't have to pound the dash like I did, but if you want to, you can. And then also to be worshiping Him. Choose to worship Him. And again, clinical depression might need some further help through doctors, and there's nothing wrong with that, seeking help for that kind of depression. Although the things I mentioned will also help when you have that disorder. So David did something about his depression, and you and I can follow his example. And looking at David's life, I can only speculate here, but I think that he dealt with like a situational depression. When I look at all of David's actions and writings, I don't think he had clinical depression. Again, this is speculation, but I think if you look at Saul, I think Saul had some kind of clinical depression, and there are some reasons for that. Charles Schultz, raised in a Christian home, confessed Jesus at one time, and he produced one of the most loved Christmas specials of all time, A Charlie Brown Christmas. We watched it on Christmas Eve. And the highlight of that show is when Linus stands on that stage and the spotlight is on him and he recites the Christmas story, or part of the Christmas story, directly from the Bible, verbatim. You can look this up. This is real. It's not preacher stories. Charles Schultz fought hard to keep that scene in. Those were his convictions at the time. He wanted Christ to be made known through his little cartoon. The TV executives fought just as hard to keep it out. They didn't think it had any place in there and so forth. Schultz wouldn't budge. He says, that little scene is the purpose of the entire show. This is what it's, you know, moving toward. This is why we wrote it this way. So Schultz won, obviously, because Linus is still reading the Christmas story to us 58 years later in a cartoon, when the other stories are about presents and Santa and so forth. But the other thing about Charles Schultz, and this is sad, he didn't deal with his depression. He didn't turn to God. In fact, he eventually turned away from God. By the 1980s, Charles Schultz described himself as a secular humanist. He no longer believed in the Jesus that Linus spoke of from a cartoon stage for the first time on December 9th, 1965. Depression left unchecked will move you away from God. Now, you heard me say earlier that I know something about this. This runs on my side of the family. It will turn you away from God if you leave it unchecked. So if you're dealing with it, or you ever do in the future, you have a choice, always. You could press into God, or you could turn away and wallow in it. But it will move you away from God. I'm not saying you get it all cured, especially if you have clinical depression. But you still have the choice to move in, to press in to the Lord Jesus. There's really no in-between when it comes to depression, dark times, grief. King David pressed into God, and he deepened his relationship with the Lord. Charles Schultz abandoned his relationship with the Lord. And for those of you that may be dealing with this right now, like today really hit you, maybe it's been a hard Christmas for whatever reason. Maybe most years when the holidays are over, you kind of bottom out just for, I don't even know why. Well, follow David's example. There is hope in the name of Jesus Christ, and I hope you know Him. If you're dealing with the holiday blues, sad feelings for any reason, I'm going to take some time in just a moment to pray for you. I want you to know that you are loved, you are valued by God. He loves you with an everlasting love that will never leave you, no matter how you're feeling in a moment, what you're dealing with. And you know God cares about you. He cares about your feelings. He knows what feelings are like. Jesus had feelings, emotions that He had to deal with. He cried out to God. So if you find that your red and green of Christmas is turning blue, or some other time of the year, turn to Jesus. Pray often, especially when you don't feel like praying. Talk to a brother or sister in Christ. I'd be glad to pray with you anytime. So let me pray now for all of us. Father, we come to you acknowledging that sometimes our feelings get overwhelming. And there are times we don't want to admit that. Maybe we've gotten the message we shouldn't talk about those things. But Father, you understand them. You understood David. You understood others in the Bible that cried out and asked you for relief. And so, Father, I pray for every person here, if they're dealing with it short-term or long-term, that you bring hope to them, because we know we have hope as we struggle through, whether it's grief, depression, some situation that's difficult. Help us to always turn to you. And I pray this in Jesus' name for all my friends and for myself. Amen.